You're tuned to 3CR Community Radio on the International Day of the Disabled. It's time for the Unitarian Half Hour.
Good morning and welcome to the Unitarian Half Hour. My name is Ralph Knight.
And my name is Tojo Voisey.
The Unitarian Church is located at 110 Grey Street, East Melbourne. That's opposite the old Mercy Hospital, right next door to the new, or being rebuilt, Freemasons Epworth Hospital. Services are held every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. and tomorrow being no exception. Professor Hans Beyer, School of Social and Political Sciences, University of Melbourne, will be addressing the Melbourne Unitarian Church. His topic, Reflections on the 216 United States Elections, in other words, Donald Trump.
Yes, the theme will be all Trump, all things that are Trump.
Yeah, it'll be trumpeted.
Hans's take on that should be quite interesting.
Yes, he's a very clever and insightful man, and it's always well worth coming along just to hear him.
Absolutely.
And you'll be able to chat with him after the service, because there's always a light lunch available, and everyone just mixes and mingles and talks about all sorts of wonderful things.
Yes. Now we have
wondrous things, I should say.
Yep. We've got Peter Abart ringing in about 10 to, so we've got to get into this talk. We had Julie Phillips, being the church organised so that the speaker would be playing today, is talking about disability. Julie comes from the Disability Discrimination Legal Service, and her talk was, how are people with disabilities being treated today? And so here is Julie Phillips addressing the Unitarian Church last Sunday.
Okay, so we'll go on to introduce our speaker for today. And our speaker today is with us sitting up the back, and her name is Julie Phillips. And Donna has given me just a tiny bit of research on Julie's background. Julie Phillips has been the manager of the Disability Discrimination Legal Service for 10 years. Her background is in disability advocacy, and she has worked in the disability sector for most of her adult life. Julie is on numerous boards and working groups where disability and human rights are priority areas. And she is here today to speak on what is stopping people with disabilities being equal in our community. Welcome, Julie.
So I was asked to speak about children today, actually, and you might notice that in the title of my talk today, the word children isn't mentioned. But there is a connection, and you'll just have to be patient not for too long to see it. I want to refer to the current situation for people with disabilities in Australia. I recognise that unless you work in the sector or you are heavily involved socially with people with disabilities in some form or another, you may actually not know about a number of things that affect the lives of people with disabilities in Australia. And most people could be forgiven for thinking that because we are in a very rich country, a developed country, a first world country, that surely many of our resources would go to supporting people with disabilities in terms of providing for things that they need to live a normal life, a life as full as we do. But I'm afraid that's actually not the case. And in 2011, the government commissioned PricewaterhouseCooper to do a report, and the report was called Disability Expectations, Investing in a Better Life, a Stronger Australia. And within that report, they said, Australia ranks 21st out of 29 OECD countries in employment participation rates for those with a disability. In addition, around 45% of those with a disability in Australia are living either near or below the poverty line. So going back to my comments before about Australia and its richness and its resources, we have to wonder why that is. Now, There are a number of reasons why that is. And I guess at one end of the scale, what we find at the Disability Discrimination Legal Service is that there is a lot of discrimination in the employment of people with disabilities. And that is probably the largest area of complaint that we have. And it's quite difficult to make systemic changes in that area because there must be, I don't know, 10,000, 20,000 different employers in Melbourne. And so if you put out the fire here and address that situation over there, you've got another few tens of thousands to go to educate and hope things can change. And so we anticipate, unfortunately, having that problem for quite some time. But the second most serious area that we have complaints about is education. And of course, these days, you can't get a job unless you have some minimum form of education. It's actually not like when I and perhaps you were younger and you could leave school at quite a young age and get a job. Things have changed. Even probably to work on the rubbish trucks around the city these days, you probably need to read the occupational health and safety instructions in relation to the truck and obviously get your license. As a carpenter or a painter, you still need to be able to read and write. Measure, maths and literacy are important now. Whereas for some of those jobs, maybe 40 years ago, you could get by without perhaps some of the necessary restrictions that we have today, which protect people and look after their safety. You just cannot do it these days. And so I hope it's clear that at the moment, and probably for a little time now, unless you can access some sort of tertiary education, even the most basic education, even if you want to be a tradesperson, you need to be able to learn to read and write. And we have a couple of significantly serious problems in our education system for kids with disabilities, not only in Victoria, but in Australia. And I would separate them into two. And one is the safety and the care of kids with disabilities in schools, and the other is their ability to progress academically. And we've had actually a couple of inquiries, actually more than a couple, a few inquiries in the last 2 years at a state and a federal level into these topics. And I want to read from just two of them. So in 2015, there were two inquiries, one that was relevant to this topic, one being a federal inquiry into abuse of people with disabilities in institutional and residential settings, and that included schools. And we're not talking about sexual abuse, so it doesn't actually link in with the Royal Commission that's been going a couple of years now that seems to have a lot of focus on the Catholic Church and some of the orphanages and other institutions where people were sexually abused. So we're talking about what I call garden variety abuse, which is assault and non-sexual abuse. And so just to sum up the results of this report and the chapter on schools, here is what the committee had to say. The committee was distressed to be presented with all too many harrowing accounts of small children suffering at the hands of the very people who should be educating them. It is hard to understand how strapping a child to furniture or locking them alone in a room to scream themselves into exhaustion could be seen as a justifiable behavioural intervention. This is without doubt a national shame. Now, I am guessing that perhaps most of you would be surprised to hear that these things are going on in Australian schools. And they are, and they have been, and particularly in Victoria. I don't know whether it's just because I'm more familiar with what happens in Victoria, and it probably is to a certain extent. However, I'm also familiar with other states. So what we have had is school staff, teachers and teaching aides knocking children down, dragging them around, hitting them, locking them up in pens outdoor, empty pens outdoors, locking them up in structures that might resemble the old 50s wooden toilets out in the backyard. So it is 2016 And these are the sorts of things that we have had happening to children till at least 2015. You might have probably seen in the paper the news about the cage in the classroom in the ACT about a year ago. That has also happened in Victoria and been raised as recently as earlier this year. So, as I said before, I'm guessing that this is probably new information to you. Now, apart from the fact that we all know abuse is not acceptable in any form, what is stunning about this type of abuse is that these are children who are vulnerable, marginalised, and many of them cannot speak. Well, not only due to their disability, but because of the next small topic within this section that I'm going to speak to you about. And so often parents don't know what is happening to their kids, and often kids are not able to tell their parents what is happening to them. And the parents only notice because children have a marked deterioration in their behaviour, which is inexplicable. So the second area is simply the ability to actually obtain an education. And a different Senate committee looked at education for students with disabilities, another federal Senate committee, and brought their report out in January this year. And I quote again, "Throughout the course of this inquiry, the committee received overwhelming evidence regarding the many barriers faced by students with disabilities and their families. Access to education is a basic human right, but for many students with disability in Australia, it is a right which they are prevented from accessing. For the students themselves, inadequate education access at school will result in their diminished capacity for the rest of their lives. Undereducation leads to unemployment, lower levels of health, social isolation, and a lifetime of disadvantage." And I suppose that these things are obvious. Again, linking it with what we were talking about before, if you can't get an education, you can't get a job, you can't earn money. And one might ask why these things continue to happen now in terms of lack of education in 2016. One of the reasons that I find is community disinterest in this topic. There are areas of interest that inspire many of the community to become justifiably upset and called to action. Indigenous rights, refugees. And I think that's entirely appropriate because these are other groups that are suffering from great harm at the moment. But for some reason, we can't seem to get the same uptake from the community and interest in the community for kids with disabilities. We often talk to ourselves and wonder why that is, and we haven't come up with an answer yet. But an example is, I suppose, that, and it does flow into adults with disabilities as well, that the first committee that did the inquiry into abuse has recommended that there be a Royal Commission into the abuse of people with disabilities. And we can't get any traction for that. And yet there are Royal Commissions being called for issues like banking and other issues which, in our view, are far less important. And it's an example, I think, of the manner in which people with disabilities are seen by a broad sector of the community and by our politicians, unfortunately. So what we have is not only are children getting abused and children with disabilities getting abused in schools, but they are not being taught. They're not being taught. Most of the time they're not even being able to enrol in their mainstream local schools. And all the research shows that that actually gives superior academic and social outcomes than to special schools. Special schools are also in the main where the abuse occurs, so there isn't actually any good reason to go to a special school. But because schools don't have funding, they will often talk parents out of enrolling their child at the local school. We can't get equipment. There's a low expectation that children with disabilities don't have the capacity to learn, and so no one puts the effort into even attempting to teach them. These are the many things that the committee finds. In terms of Victoria, the Department of Education and Training is an extraordinary organisation. And I mean that in the worst possible way. Parents have to sue the government under discrimination legislation for the most basic supports for kids with disabilities. They have to sue them to obtain appropriate speech pathology. They have to sue them to obtain sufficient aid assistance, to obtain individual education plans, behaviour plans, behaviour assessments. And the Department of Education's formal position on many of these supports that I have just mentioned is that they are not reasonable to provide kids with disabilities. And this is becoming a particular problem for kids with cognitive disabilities. And you may have read over the last 10 years the growing numbers of kids diagnosed with autism. So while Victoria and probably the rest of Australia has become better at meeting the needs of children, for example, who are in a wheelchair, that's an easy one. You build some ramps, and those ramps are there for a very long time, and other kids can use them. Deaf kids, that's another easy one. I'm not saying that it's always solved adequately, but you might need a sign language interpreter. With a vision impaired child, you might need Braille, alternative formats. But it's the children with the cognitive impairments, like ADHD, intellectual disability, autism, severe language disorder, dyslexia, that are finding it very difficult to get what they need to participate in their schooling, because they don't want often a piece of equipment. They don't need something built for them. They need things that the departments say are not reasonable to provide them, such as aids, carefully written individual education plans. Now, if you think about it for a minute, an individual education plan is a completely standard support for any child with any sort of disability or who's having difficulty. It is not a difficult thing to do. It is simply the writing down an agreement of strategies that a child requires to gain access to their education. The department's view is that that is not reasonable. And parents continue having to fight and fight for these basic rights. So we continue to have a crisis in Victoria, particularly, and Australia, in that while there might be improvements for the rest of society, and I'm not sure that's the case, but certainly people without disabilities probably find it pretty easy these days to get an education and move on to tertiary education and get jobs. We still have people with disabilities at this bottom tier living close to poverty because they can't earn a living. So I'm hoping that I have piqued your interest by sharing some of these things with you, because I suppose all we can do is try and spread the knowledge about this subject and hope that people might feel interested enough in it to get involved. Unfortunately, it doesn't seem to matter how many reviews and inquiries there are, and I've seen a lot over the last 20 years. We have little change. I must admit we have had some change in the last 6 months and some efforts made by the department to stamp out abuse. And I think that's because it's been so highly publicised, it's so significantly embarrassing that the department is finding it just can't go on doing the things that it used to go on, or turning a blind eye to those things. Having said that, to my knowledge, in terms of the many individual cases I know of, all the school staff that have been abusing these kids continue to work in schools. If you're wondering, and I hope you might be, if there's anything that you can do to address these issues, I have two small suggestions. And one is that we in the sector believe that it is very important to have a Royal Commission into the abuse of people with disabilities, which does cover the abuse of kids living in schools and also covers older people with disabilities who have been living in Department of Health and Human Services care and been subjected to false imprisonment and assault. We continue not to be able to understand why this group of people cannot get justice and the perpetrators of such violence cannot be raised publicly. It is another way that people with disabilities and parents of small children with disabilities feel that they are not equal in our society. So if you have you will all have a local MP and you feel interested enough to do so, it would be marvellous if you could mention that you support a Royal Commission into the abuse of people with disabilities. I believe that the people that have been abusing children particularly, but adults as well, should not be continuing to work in these areas. The other issue, I suppose, is that one of the reasons that we cannot get some of these academic supports for kids with disabilities, one aid might cost about $55,000 per annum. And the way Victorian schools work is that they receive a certain amount of funding and that's it. and some kids with disabilities attract some levels of funding, but many kids with disabilities attract no funding at all, even though their disabilities might be significant and multiple. And so one of the reasons that school staff do not provide the supports that are required, and one of the reasons that when they are faced with the enrolment of a child with a disability, they try and flick them off to the special school down the road, is because they know they don't have the funds to support them. And so we've had other reviews that have pointed to the fact that obviously these schools need to be better resourced and these teachers need to be supported to put in place the things that kids require. And you may have heard of Gonski, the Gonski review, and that was a review that concluded that schools, in order to ensure that kids with disabilities get an education, need significantly more funding. Again, that has not been enacted. We've also had a program for students with disabilities review in Victoria, where the conclusion was that more funding is needed to support these kids. And I think nearly every recommendation except that one was accepted by the government, which is the biggest one out of the whole report. So we aren't feeling very optimistic at the moment that the statistics that I told you at the beginning of the talk from PricewaterhouseCoopers may change. So again, I invite you, if you have an interest in this, to contact your local politician and raise those two issues, and that would go some way to raising the profile of children with disabilities and helping to shape their future with a different trajectory, which is not poverty, but being able to be equal participants in our community, which was the title of my talk. Thank you very much for listening.
And the Unitarian Church would like to thank Julie Phillips very much for her talk about disability and how people that are differently abled are being treated in society today.
Absolutely.
Now, we've got a special guest on the line.
I think I can see who it is, Peter Abrahart.
That's very good. You can see him at that distance.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Very good, thank you, Peter.
Very
well. It's a
wonderful
idea with 3CR doing the special International Day, or recognising it.
Absolutely. Having the right programming to go with that idea.
Exactly. It's really all about ways and means of everyone, all of us, to reach our full potential, isn't it?
Yes.
As human beings.
Absolutely.
It's really cutting to the chase. I guess that's what it's all about.
Yeah, it was interesting she only just mentioned Gonski at the end there, because Gonski, like the idea for needs-based funding, is just another brilliant idea that's just been left to wither on the vine.
Yeah, and I think things are being cut back in all sorts of areas, and that would be one, but there's stacks of areas where things quietly are being changed.
And, yeah.
It's only when you're at the coalface on a particular issue, whether it's disability support or education, different parts of education, that you realise what's being cut back.
All right. Have you got any examples?
A lot of it's being done under the lap.
Absolutely. There's a radio program on a commercial station, but what the announcer was doing was calling for people with black spots to do with telephones. When telephones were put in Australia, it was done by the government and everybody had the right to a landline. And it's the same with postage. With one stamp, you could send a letter to Western Australia from Melbourne or Sydney. And under the commercial model, all they want to do is get where the traffic is.
That's right. And that's the same with everything, as you say, communications,
yeah.
All sorts of communications.
And the same principle is coming about with education.
With everything.
If a child is given a substandard education, in a subtle way, that child is disabled as well.
That's right.
And they're going to come back and cost the community just as much as a disability
more.
Would, and maybe more.
Yeah.
In other words, people aren't put first.
That's
yes.
right.
It's the almighty dollar.
Mm.
Yeah,
that ends up being.
Privatising stuff is just taking us faster down that path.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly.
One of the things that really bugs me is coming to 3CR on a Saturday morning. I drive through Richmond, and there's flat after flat going up, and I pass three or four schools, or what used to be a school, shut down.
Yep.
And you've got a burgeoning population.
Without the infrastructure
because it's been chopped up.
Yeah.
That's right. I think my kids have the distinction of none of their schools, high school or primary school, are still there. This is out in the Knox area in Boronia.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, the
and
children
they're all housing
are still...
estates now. So somebody knew. This is during the Kennedy era.
Mm.
Yes.
So that's what they do. And I think, look at local councils, for instance, selling off land to developers. It goes back to the old commons, you know, the argument about the commons. The clearances, the Highland clearances, what was it called in England? The
common.
Enclosure movement.
Yeah.
Where people were kicked off the land and the dukes and duchesses all established their farms and their manors and so forth, you know.
That was just feudalism, though, isn't it?
That's feudalism, yep.
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 There was a pub in Carlton that the developers didn't have permission to knock down. It was a sacred building, and they just knocked it down over the weekend. They came in on a Friday and did it, knowing that they'd get in trouble, but also knowing that once it's done, it's done. But the government's turned round, and what they're thinking of doing is making them put it back together brick by brick. And that would serve them so right.
Yes.
I'm watching that space. I really want to see the outcome of that court case. If the developer gets made to put it back up, that will just be... they'll make my month.
Well, I wonder what the fines are for those sorts of things, because I know other cases, not so dramatic as that, where the fine has been worth it for the people
to
do it.
Yeah, they're going to make the money on the apartments. That's what I was saying, that they knew the fine was worth it, but once the deed was done, it couldn't be undone.
Ah, oh, that's right.
There's a very famous case in the 1930s. General Motors bought out Boston Transit, which was a very efficient passenger rail system, put in buses. They were taken to court, lost the case, and were fined $1,000. Wow.
Break the bank.
Yes.
But I think the whole question of disability, I think it, we're all affected by it, you know, either in our family or whatever, and I've recently been so affected with my sister, you know. So you get disability covers a whole range of areas, whether it's education of kids or whether it's
care of the
going
elderly.
Into care facilities, all this sort of stuff.
Mm.
It's a very broad subject.
Absolutely.
And something that needs to have attention paid to it, because
exactly.
our population
exactly.
is ageing. And if you think we've got a refugee crisis now, you wait till the sea level rises and we get a few flooded islands.
Yeah, and all the climate change deniers will all be there and...
they'll be standing up into their neck in water, but like just going, we're wrong, we were wrong.
Yes, we'll have to dig a hole and drain it.
Or something.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Now, coming up next, we've got some more special Day of the Disabled Person programming coming up. We haven't got On Screen with Melinda coming up next. Pete, you want to do a quick wrap about the December Beacon? You've got about 40 seconds.
Yes, it's a double, well, not a double issue. It's instead of 12 pages, it's 16 pages. A whole range of articles, and I haven't got it in front of me at the moment because it hasn't been printed, but it covers a whole range of articles by John Pilger. There's no articles on disability, unfortunately, but hopefully the address that we've just listened to, if we can get a text copy of that, hopefully that might be in the Beacon next year.
Yep, get that one written out.
Yep.
We've got time to do a quick chorus of the church motto.
Seek the truth
and serve humanity. Thanks for calling in, Pete. We'll talk to you next week.
Amen to that. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, Ralph. It's time
well,
for
we'll
us
be
to
back
say
again
goodbye.
Same time next week. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Thanks for downloading a 3CR podcast. 3CR is an independent community radio station based in Melbourne, Australia, on the Kulin Nation. For more information and to find out how you can support 3CR, go to www.3cr.org.au.